All right, let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, living Christ, our Savior. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, this day. Father, as your people, Lord, we come before you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we come before you with grateful hearts, Lord, thanking and praising you, Lord God, for saving us, for leading and guiding us as the Good Shepherd, Lord. And Lord, for leading us, Lord, beside the still waters, for comforting our soul, Lord God. Father, this day, Lord Jesus, we are just grateful again, Lord, to be called by your name, Father, to have a good shepherd over us, Lord, who leads and guides and feeds and takes care of his sheep. Lord, we testify this day, Lord, to your goodness. Lord, we testify, Lord God, to this day, Lord, the way that you have continued to carry us through each and every situation, Lord, that life may have brought, Lord God. And we are just appreciative, Father, Lord, that you are always there for us, Father. So, Lord, right now, this morning, Father, we do take authority, Father, over every work of the enemy, Lord. We do break it, we do bind it and cast it out because we've been given that power in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we pray, Father, for the free flow of your Spirit in and through this place, Lord, to every person that would hear your word, Lord, this day. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us, Father, for the journey at hand and the journey ahead. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we yield our lives to you. And Lord, I continue to acknowledge openly that the only good thing, Father, in me is your Spirit. So to your Spirit, I and we yield this day in Jesus' name as we go on. Amen. 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 Well, it's good to see everyone today. You know, it's an important thing for us to, just an important marker for us to know. You know, we do a lot of projects and programs and things to help people. Yeah? We do a lot of nice things, as my dad might say. But you need to understand very clearly that if the word goes, if the truth goes, all of this goes. Christ Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the rock on which anything of any substance, any value, it's built on that. And so, for us, the reason that we even come together like this, from one week to the next, the reason we do this is to make sure that all of us are on the same page and understand very, very clearly that this is about Jesus. And the story of Mary and Martha is continuously applied, especially if you're ever around my dad. He talks about this a lot. Ultimately, Martha was so preoccupied, so many things on her mind, all of the things that needed to be done, but Mary had chosen the better way, which was to wait at Christ Jesus' feet. And that's what we do. See, when we wait on Christ Jesus, when we wait at His feet, we wait on our Lord and our Savior, on our Provider, on the One that gives us direction, peace, life, all things flow from Him. And when we cease to wait on Him, when we start to go our own way, when we start to say, okay, I am now going to try to make something work myself, I'm going to, you and I, we get off track. Now there's a reason Scripture calls us sheep. Sheep, if you've ever seen sheep, they're very, very quick to go all all sorts of different directions. And that's why we need a shepherd. We need the Spirit of God to lead and guide us, especially in the day that we now live in. And no matter what issues, no matter what problems you may have in your life, no matter what problems you may have, even with the people that are around you that you think you might have, if you bring it back to Jesus, if you bring it back to His feet, He will give you peace and resolution and show you how to go forward from there. Now, in the middle of this life, we are going to have to make choices and decisions. Would you want to make a choice without checking first with Jesus? Would you want to try to figure out and get all of the available information and now make something work? Or are you willing to humble yourself and wait upon the Lord in every situation and for His timing, for God to reveal, God to expose, God to make things clear and show you the way forward? You know, the people of God worldwide have lost this discipline. It used to be something that was very strong early on. They've lost it this day, which is that they wait upon the Lord for an answer from Him. They expect God to be like their email account. You know, you send an email, you should get a response in 24 hours. If there's nothing in 24 hours, there's something wrong. No, if you read in Scripture, God would sometimes take 13, 14, 15 years to give someone an answer. And in the meantime, while they were waiting and they were trying to help God, they made big, big problems for themselves that we deal with today. I'm thinking of Abraham right now. I'm thinking of so many other stories right now where when God's people tried to get ahead of God, the problems and the issues that they made for themselves. So when we come together like this, no one here is doing anyone else a favor. Each of you need to understand this. You're not doing a favor for anyone. This time when we come together like this is core and central for your soul, my soul, us too, as a group of people that are here, wait upon the Lord, who's the one that started this whole thing in the first place. Yes. And if you miss that, if I miss that, if I get too busy trying to do all these different things, and then all of a sudden now, if I miss that, I have now switched to Martha, I'm not being Mary. And it is a decision, it is a choice. You know, when we come together, when I come together with the people of God, I have to make a choice to leave all things at the feet of God and to receive from Him this day my daily bread. From the Spirit of God, not from a person. Because we are on a journey with Him. And in this journey, like Jesus said in John 16, in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Now, you know, it's something that's interesting to me about the walk with Christ. I've been thinking about this recently. You know, when Jesus was doing big miracles, when Jesus was feeding the 5,000 and healing people and all of these things, everybody loved Jesus. You know, scriptures talked about even Herod, the guy that, you know, set him up for crucifixion, that Herod was looking forward to seeing Jesus because he hoped he would do some miracle. He would hope he would do something in front of him. But when Jesus started to talk about the kingdom, started to talk about truth, started to talk about things that people didn't like to hear, things changed. As long as Jesus is feeding people, healing the sick, raising the dead, making people's lives better, everything's great. We all love this Jesus. Who wouldn't like that Jesus? You've seen the thing, Aladdin, the lamp, he rubs the lamp and here comes the genie, and the genie does something great for the person that just rubbed the lamp. We love that Jesus. But the day that God brings expectation to His people, the day that God says, this is the way, walk ye in it, now there's a problem. The day that Jesus questions the way that everything has been done and established and going on, that's the day now people have a problem with Jesus. And you know, so many of the miracles that Jesus did, they were done to show people that He had authority, He had authority in the spiritual, and He was also displaying the same in the natural. He was showing that for people so that they understood that He had the credibility to speak about what He was talking about. Sorry. Yeah, I want to give you an example. Let's go to John chapter 6. And verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of heaven. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples which heard this said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore say I unto you, that no man shall come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Yeah. Just to 66, yeah. So 42 to 66. Or 43,
sorry. Mage manche sabhavu kheme mage le Lekem hang karakte sada har jivat varneyai ki seka. Unhase kapanlamde vandamin sise e karna sinagoge di ki seka. Eberi unhase ke goleyan gen bohu dene ke asa neka sada ki makya. Eka asan de kunwan aata dai ki hoya. Goleyan e gena kunwanda bawa Yesus wase samantula dena onta kiyana se neka mudalata badawak. Ese nam manushya putraya pera sitiya karana nagina ජීවත් කරන්නේ ආත්මය මාංශයෙන් කිසි ප්‍රයෝජනයක් නැත. මා නුඹලාට කී වචන ආත්මයේද ජීවනයේද වේ. නමුත් විශ්වාස නොකරන සමහරෙක් නුඹලා අතරේ සිටිතී කීසේක. අකුසාද විශ්වාස නොකරන්නෝ කවුරුද කියා තමන් වහන්සේ පාවා දෙන්න සිටියේ කවුද කියා යේසුස් වහන්සේ මුල පටන් දැනගෙන සිටිසේක. එහෙයින් උන්වහන්සේ කීවසේ මාගේ පියාණන් වහන්සේගෙන් බලය ලැබූ කෙනෙකුට මිස අන් කිසිවෙකුට මා වෙතද එන්න බැරි බව නුඹලාට කීවෙමි කීසේක. මේ නිසා එවත් පටන් උන්වහන්සේගේ ගෝලයන්ගේ බොහෝ දෙනෙක් පසුබට වී උන්වහන්සේ සමග තමන් තවත් නොහැසුරුවෝය.
Now Jesus said these words. When did Jesus say these words? Right before this, Jesus fed the 5,000, right? In fact, it was 5,000 men. So, you know, I like the way that Scripture sort of understates the numbers. Because nowadays, everyone overinflates. Everyone says much more than was there. If it was today, people would say, okay, 5,000 men, most of them married, no family planning, so probably 3-4 kids per family, so times 50,000, so like that. So, No. Scriptures underestimate just to give you, but it's basically, look, 5,000 men. But it was a lot of people. And Jesus takes in that situation where all of them need, and He shows that God can continue to provide and take care of His people even in the wilderness. And He goes right from that to walking on the water in the middle of a storm. He walks on the water. And so when they find Jesus after that, then they're chasing after Jesus because they want a meal. So if you even go further back in the chapter, in verse, you know, the 30s of this chapter, it's talking about, they're like, oh, what will you do to show us that you're this bread of life? Moses gave the bread, you know, the manna in the desert. They're still trying to get something out of Jesus. Jesus, do what we want you to do. But what happens is Jesus now, He says, okay, if you really want to be close to me, let's talk. Let's really talk. If you really want truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want truth, if you want me, let's talk. And in that process of saying, let's talk, He then starts to show them what they say is a difficult saying. Who can accept this? And keep in mind that even though they had seen Jesus, they knew He had walked on water, even though He had fed the 5,000. When it came down to it, in verse 66, many turned and went back on that day. Verse 66 says, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Now, it is no coincidence that this is John 6:66. There's no coincidence. Ooh, spooky. No, it's no coincidence. Ultimately, those that will walk with Christ will go with Him in and through all things. They're in it for the whole thing. Whereas there are those that, and Jesus talked about it very clearly in the parable of the sower. There's all kinds of people that come around that spring up because of the seed. But it is those that it's the good soil that brings it back. It's those with the good heart that are saying, yes, Lord, I will go with You. Because verse 67 then said Jesus unto the 12. The 12, can you imagine how many people left Him if He's got to turn around and just talk to the 12? And Jesus said to the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what's cool about that? You know what I like about that? They didn't say, this isn't a hard saying, Jesus. They didn't say, this is an easy saying for me. No. They didn't say, oh, I've got it all figured out. I understand, of course. No, what I like about this, what I like about Peter, is that Peter, even though he didn't understand it, he knew that this was true. Even though it didn't make sense to his mind, until you get to Acts, it doesn't make sense to Peter. But he recognized that this was truth. This was the Word in flesh. And he did not want to go anywhere else but here. And even for Peter, I think that's why Peter was so shattered when he denied Christ, because when he got to that place later on, after the garden, the reason that I believe Peter was so shattered was because his desire was to stay close to Christ, but he was limited in his humanity. And he saw the limitation, though he was in his best effort, though he wanted, there was nowhere else he wanted to go. But then that flesh rose up in him in that difficult moment and he failed and he fell and he knew that he fell. And it broke him into 1,000 pieces. Because he also knew that Jesus knew. And that Jesus himself talked to Peter and said, Peter, this day, this night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Jesus standing with him, looking at him, knowing he's going to deny him and still loves him. But you know what? It is important for each and every one of us to come to an end of our expectation of who we are in ourselves and in our flesh and what we think we can do for God. You know, that has to be broken into 1,000, into 1,000,000 pieces. It has to be shattered at the feet of God. Because if it's not, you still think that there's something that you bring to this, that He just wants your heart. He wants you and I of our free will to choose Him and to bow our knee before Him. And we don't have to understand it, but we just have to submit to Him, let Him lead and guide us from there. And Peter, in the middle of his limitation, even in the garden, what Jesus did for him was he said, I have prayed for you. He prayed for him and God restored him. And later on, what you end up seeing with Peter is when the Spirit of God came upon Peter, he became a different person. Now, with that hope of glory living in him. Peter was not afraid of death, not afraid of the things that would come to pass. He boldly stood up and spoke the truth and the way. But his heart had to be broken. And God will allow our hearts to be broken. Because He wants His Spirit to flow through us. You know, I see throughout scriptures how when the Spirit of God came upon somebody, that they became something different. You know, Peter is one example. Gideon's another one. You know, David. You know, Saul was an amazing example when he started out. David. You know, I was reading about Saul. Saul was an amazing example when he started out. But then he got his eyes off of Christ. He got his eyes off of God, the instructions of God, the ways of God. And he started to try to do things his way, and he ended up in destruction. You know, Peter, when he got his eyes off of Jesus, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter was walking on the water with Jesus. When you and I keep our eyes on Christ, you can do the miraculous. But when you take your eyes off of Him and you start to look at life raging around you and the storms raging around you, that's when you start to sink. It's a very simple principle. If you feel like you're sinking, where are you looking? Just bump the person next to you. Ask them. If you feel like you're sinking in life, where are you looking? If somebody feels like they're sinking, chances are 100% you're not looking at Jesus. You're not trusting Him. Look. Put your hands. Just look at your hands. How many years have you been here? How many years have these hands been in the earth? God has brought you into this world, provided for you, protected you, taught you, led you, guided you all this time. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? You know, Jesus said, be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. He said, don't worry that about tomorrow, for sufficient for today is the evil thereof. You know, we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to the fundamentals. Because in all of this, God is strengthening His people. He knows what He's doing with those that are His. And God is calling us to trust Him. God is calling us to look to Him. And He is also calling us to have a heart that receives and desires the truth. And that even when things are difficult, even when we maybe don't completely understand, we still trust Him because we know the character and the nature of the God we serve. He is a good God. He is the good shepherd. And he loves and takes care of and watches over his sheep, which is you and I each and every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And with that, my time is up, so we will stop there for the day.